Back here on this Thursday, Omni Nashville Hotel, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He is a friend, that is for sure. Greg Wyshynski joins us now from ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Greg, good morning. I know it's a busy morning. How are you?
When is it not a busy morning in the playoffs? It's always late nights, too. I was just telling my wife last night, like, as a guy who lives in Brooklyn, I'm ready for the playoffs to advance to the point where I don't have to stay up until 2 a.m. every night watching these West Coast games, which I know is very East Coast elitist of me, but still, it's you know, when you're getting up early and going to bed late, you're just, you know, you're over it at some point.
No, I totally understand, and you know, that's kind of what it was with going back to Vancouver and back to Nashville and those things. But unfortunately, it came to an end for the Preds. We'll get to them in a second. Surprise, not surprise, Toronto has relieved Sheldon Keefe of his coaching duties.
Not surprised at all. I mean, once it became apparent they were going to have a press conference on Friday with the GM and the president, Brendan Shanahan, and the you know, the team president and stuff, like, it's pretty obvious they were going to make a change probably before that. It is interesting, though, that if you ask around about what the Leafs did in that series against Boston, he probably did more coaching in that series than he's done in, like, the last 5 years. Matthews goes out with the injury. They kind of change tactics. They play a little bit more defensive. The games are tight. For me, it's like, you know, their power play went 4.8% conversion rate against Boston in a playoffs where obviously every special team, every series was basically decided on special teams. That's not on him. That's player execution and his assistant coach not doing well. But you know, listen, someone has to pay when you only win one playoff series in the tenure of the coach. And I think the writing was on the wall for him the minute that Brad Treliving took over as GM, because he was Kyle Dubas's boy from back in junior. So it was bound to happen. And pretty much the only way he's going to keep his job is if the Leafs probably win not just one but two playoff rounds.
So looking at that job now, I mean, you know the pressure that comes with it. Personally, I think one of the best people for that job is currently the general manager here in Nashville. So he's not available. But who would be a good fit in your mind, knowing everything that's involved with that job?
Well, there's two names right now, and maybe one of them can't be available, but we'll get to that. The first is Craig Berube. Obviously, he has a Stanley Cup ring with the St. Louis Blues. But more importantly is his real talent as a coach isn't necessarily like X's and O's. It's the ability to keep his team laser focused and keep the outside noise from impacting them. It's the thing he did best in St. Louis. He's a guy that likes to play heavy hockey, which I think the Leafs could do with the lineup that they have, and certainly should do in the division that they're in. But it's that sort of like ability to kind of keep everybody on the eyes on the prize that I think could really do well for him in Toronto. The second guy is Quenneville. And that brings us to the uncomfortable question of whether Joel Quenneville should coach the NHL again. I'm of the mind that he shouldn't after everything that went down in Chicago. But, you know, he's done some media interviews this year that maybe indicated that he is on his way back. The NHL and Gary Bettman have to, basically, he's not suspended, but they have to sign off on him returning. But I was talking to an NHL source last night who told me, look, if someone comes asking for Quenneville, I would not be shocked in the least if he's coaching somewhere next season. So that's kind of the thing that's out there as far as, like, if the Leafs wanted to go down that road, it could potentially be a thing that happens. But that might be more worth more trouble than it needs to be. And again, like, I think for me and a lot of people, we don't necessarily want to see this guy back in the league.
ESPN senior NHL writer Greg Wyshynski is on with us.
All right, Greg, we're not even to the offseason. I'm already tired of this UC Saros talk and what's going to happen here in Nashville. Your thoughts on this? And if you know, I always like to ask, if you played GM for a while, what would you do with this situation here in Nashville?
Well, I'd trade him. I mean, like, listen, if there's always the mindset of, you know, you can go down the road with him next year and you know, maybe sign him to a shorter-term deal and give Askarov a little bit more time, and then also, you know, be really competitive because UC Soros is your goaltender. But I think for what he's going to probably be looking for contractually, that doesn't fit with what he would probably want to do in theory. Again, like, these guys always want to be where their stuff is. His stuff's in Nashville. You can never say for sure. But, you know, if he's looking for something longer term, that's crazy with what you have in the system right now. So, you know, I'd trade him. I'd maximize the return, make the team better. There are teams that are in obvious need of goaltending help that have a lot that could help the Predators, being, you know, Los Angeles and New Jersey come to mind immediately. And you have an asset that that could certainly bring that back. Now, it could be a crowded market. Like, you know, there's all this talk about Jacob Markstrom being available. There's always this notion, is Jordan Binnington potentially available in St. Louis? He's coming off a great year. Let's see how it shakes out. But, I mean, there's no question that UC Soros, whether it's the Kings or the Devils or the Leafs or anybody, could solve a lot of problems for somebody and certainly bring back a really healthy return to Nashville.
All right, Greg. So, again, on this show, Chase asked the really good questions. I asked the really dumb ones. So I see the survey about asking fans to name Utah's new hockey team. And Greg, I got to tell you, I'm disappointed. There's 20 names here. If they don't name this Utah hockey team the Utah Latter-day Skates, I will be furious. I'm telling you now. I mean, you've got a lot of pull in the league, Greg. Make this happen. The Utah Latter-day Skates.
I like that one. I've also enjoyed SLC Puck was one that was pretty popular to begin with instead of Punk. It's 20. For those who haven't seen, it's 20 names. A lot of them are the ones we've already known because they've been quietly using shell corporations to trademark these names over the last few weeks. And by the way, it does sound like they're going to have a name next year. They won't have a logo. It won't be on their jersey. They won't have a mascot. But, you know, Ryan Smith, the new owner of the team, told me recently that he wanted to have the opportunity for these players to refer to themselves as something, right? For year one, it'll probably be like Utah on a jersey and then, you know, have some team colors. We've gone over the names a lot on our podcast, The Drop. I like Mammoth. I think it's a cool name. I think the Outlaws is a cool name. The interesting thing about their survey, so the plural of Yeti is Yetis. That is, they're not. It's not, you know, fish. You know, there's an S at the end, right? But in the survey, it says Utah Yeti. So it sounds like maybe they don't want the S, even though that's proper grammar. And they might just go Utah Yeti, which is probably a better name if we're being honest. But again, not grammatically correct, and I'm a stickler for such things.
Well, not only that, but there's only like four or five professional teams that don't have an S under their name, and the Jazz is one of them. And so he owns the Jazz too. Might as well make it the Yeti. Might as well, you know, double the fun there.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, hey, kudos to them for, you know, actually looking to change the name. Instead of keeping it as something that doesn't even apply to the state they're playing anymore, like the Jazz. I mean, you know, you could have,
that's correct.
Called them like, you know, the Utah Phoenix or something like that, and really appropriate.
We'll rise again.
But no, it's exciting, dude. It's exciting. I love all the. And by the way, no dumb question on this because the fans have been buzzing about what this team will be called for weeks. And now we've got a survey, and we'll see how it shakes out. There's a couple of them on there that are really bad, but there's a few of them that are really interesting. Blizzard would be too. Like, I don't know if that's going to win, but that's cool because you could have, you know, the youngins call them the Zard or the Blizzies. Yeah,
right. Dope. I mean, they got Mountaineers, Freeze, Mammoth, Black Diamonds, Blast, Caribou, Blizzard, yada, yada, yada. But I'm going with Latter-day Skates. Make it happen, Greg.
But like, one of the names they have on the list is the Powder. And I'm just like, boy, you guys are asking for it.
The Utah Powder. Oh, gosh.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski here on the Chase and Big Joe show. And, Greg, you know, looking at the Predators, going back to that now, you know, people try and find reasoning and this is why they lost and all this stuff. And, you know, I've heard some people say that, well, they just don't match up well. They're just far off from – you know, being ready to contend. And I mean, I think they had plenty of opportunities to win that series. But when you look at this team as a whole, as pretty much the only major media member that picked them to make the playoffs, what do they need to add this offseason to be more of a true contender?
It's great question. I haven't really broken down their roster, to be honest with you, to see exactly where the areas of need are. I think they're doing the right thing now, which is allowing a lot of younger players to get opportunities and to grow and to understand what it takes to win in this league. And to me, to go back to the playoff thing, like the reason they lost was the game that they squandered at home, the one where Besser had the hat trick and Lindholm scores in overtime. If they win that game, I think they win the series. But that game was essentially what we're talking about here with the roster, which is that, you know, 3-1 lead, third period, they're fat and happy, they're cruising, all of a sudden adversity hits, and then it hits again, and then it hits in overtime. And there was not a soul in the world that thought they were going to win that game in overtime, right? So, like, that's the kind of thing they needed to go through to become a better team. And that's why I'm was really happy they made the playoffs. Like, I didn't think they were going to win the Cup. But as far as, like, maturation of a team, like, it's essential to play important games. It's essential to experience those moments where adversity hits. And I think, you know, more so than anything they do to the roster, the education they receive in these playoffs is going to help them immeasurably next season.
Well, going to be interesting for sure. And I am with you on the playoffs, especially for you and what you do, that it's time to get back on the East Coast and not have all this jumping around at 2 a.m. for you. But
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to Boston for the games 3 and 4. And that series, you know, you got people making $10 million beating each other up. So I'm really excited to go cover that series now.
Yeah, that'll be a good one for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
Good time. Thanks.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us as he does every Thursday at 9:30. We're live today at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coach Jeff Fisher coming up at 10 o'clock as I see him walking in right now. So looking forward to having Coach on with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.